This comes from Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." In the name of Jesus, amen. Anyone recognize that? Anyone have to have an EKG? Yeah. Some of us? How about an echocardiogram? Anyone get their blood pressure checked every once in a while? Anyone a little concerned about what's going on with blood pressure, pulse? You know, the human heart is an amazing thing. It can beat like 2 billion times in a person's life. I mean, if you're living into your 70s. I mean, it's just amazing what the heart can do. How mysteriously and wonderfully made we are. And yet, are there some on blood thinner? Are there some taking some stuff that helps them with their heart? I mean, these are pretty important things to take care of. Amen? Yeah. Because once we start having problems with our heart, well, boy, a lot of challenges come, don't they? You know, pacemaker, yeah. How about diet? No longer can have any bacon and all that stuff that we enjoy, you know. I mean, it's an important thing to take care of our heart health. And yet today we also understand that from what our Lord said, there's another kind of heart that we are to care for. And it's our spiritual heart and its health, which is the title of our meditation this morning. So check out the people. Looks like everyone's doing okay. We have one that stopped to pose for the picture looking up. I guess everyone else is posing for the picture too. Usually we're not quite that close because of social distancing, right? It's a pretty strange picture to see in this day and time. But everyone look okay there, right? No heart problems there. In fact, what are the signs of a physical heart attack anyway? I mean, you have a pain. You feel the proverbial elephant standing on your chest. You start breaking out in sweats. Right? And you know, you feel nauseous. Anyone looking like they're having a physical heart attack there? I don't think so. But Jesus today talks about a different kind of heart that has some major problems. What are the signs of its problems? Anyone remember from the reading? It's quite powerful. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. What are those things? Sexual immorality. All the different ways that we can sexually fantasize and so forth. Theft. These are the signs of a spiritual heart condition. These are the signs of spiritual heart attacks. When we give in to our sexual thoughts, when we give in to the ideas of theft that are created in our hearts and minds. How about murder? When we're really angry with someone, want to get them? You know, Jesus says we commit murder. That's a spiritual heart attack. Being angry with someone. Oh, I'm going to get them. I mean, how long can a person be angry and not realize they're having a spiritual heart attack? How many, I mean, how many ways can a person want to take from someone else, not realizing that they're hurting themselves with their spiritual heart attack? But the list goes on. Other signs of a spiritual heart attack: adultery, wanting to have sex with someone else's wife or husband, you know, which is different from fornication, people that aren't married having sex with each other. Spiritual heart attacks, one and all. It's a crazy spiritual heart condition, is it not? When you really think about it this way? I mean, how many of these people are having spiritual heart attacks? God only knows. How many spiritual heart attacks can you and I have in a day, in a week? More than we would like. Amen? Such is our heart condition. And it's a serious one. Even if you have good EKGs and echocardiograms and blood pressure and pulse rates and cholesterol panels and so forth, this is a serious condition. Coveting, wanting someone else's stuff, wanting something that maybe the spouse said, you don't need that, and you had the money anyway, so you bought it, only to get some sand from the other half because, you know, you really don't need that kind of coveting. Wickedness. You know, there are things that you and I can think about that God doesn't even think about. In our Lutheran theology, we call it the mystery of wickedness. I mean, there are times in the Bible where God says, I don't even think about that stuff. And you guys are doing that to your kids? I mean, that's the Stace Rollison version of Jeremiah, but I mean, it's just crazy. We call this the mystery of wickedness. And that's part of our heart condition. Deceit. You know, the shucking and the jiving, you know, putting on airs, putting on shows just to trick somebody. That's a spiritual heart attack. Sensuality, just wanting to take care of our comfort zone in all kinds of different ways. Envy, being envious of others, slanderous of others. You know, the word for slander there is blasphemy. Not only can we blaspheme God, but we can blaspheme each other. And that's another spiritual heart attack. Isn't it crazy? We can actually like some of these heart attacks. We can revel in some of these heart attacks. Isn't that sick? I mean, who of you would see someone having a physical heart attack and say, oh, this is cool? You don't have to dial 911. I want to see how this ends. Right? And yet, the spiritual heart attacks can go on and on without any comment. Has it happened in your home where one of you gets kind of angry and then everyone's angry, so you share a spiritual heart attack with everyone else? I mean, this is our condition. And it's a sad one. It's a sad one. You know, and here's the deal. It's a heart condition that's not so silent. And it's a heart condition that's not so isolated so that it only affects you. It can affect all kinds of people. Cascading in all kinds of different ways. No wonder Jesus talks about it. All of this took place in chapter 7, where it all began with the disciples not washing their hands the way they were supposed to, and then being called on it. They're not following the religious rules of the day. And Jesus has to say, time out, time out, time out. You can't make yourself pure. You don't realize how spiritually polluted you are. And so now he's got to go through this spiritual diagnosis like only the great physician can, to reveal the heart condition that plagues your life and my life. And it's quite a list of signs of a fundamental condition in all of us we call the doctrine of original sin. All these evil things, Jesus says, come from within, and they defile a person. This is quite a condition. Would you agree? And yet we're living in a time where a lot of people within the church and outside of the church say, no big deal, it's okay. Nothing to see here. It's what I call a clash of stories or worldviews in our culture. And we're living at a time where it can be so confusing and so promoted, which is really no different than the person having the physical heart attack and people saying, this is cool. And so we're really living in a challenging time. But are you ready for the good news? Are you ready to hear what God has done? Check it out. Let's read it together. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we've been justified by what Christ has done, coming and living our life perfectly, dying our death, suffering what we could never suffer. Talk about a surgical procedure that had to be done for our rescue. Jesus willingly did. He was pierced. He was crushed. Blood and water came out of him to cover us and cure us so that now we have peace with God. When he looks at you, when he looks at me, he sees his son's perfection. You are forgiven. You are favored. You are loved for Christ's sake. And that's what we trust in as God's family. Not only that, but we have access by faith into this grace. Lord, help me with this battle. Lord, I failed to put on the belt of truth. I need that truth. I need to live by that. And so forth, the shield. I need to use the shield against the accusations of the devil. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Even now, as much as there are all kinds of things pressing perhaps on your life, as you take in the news of what's going on around the world, you and I still have a hope that's beyond those things because our hope is in God. And we can trust that God will keep us safe. Why? Because this is what he has done. Let's read it. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now we know that the challenges that we go through, the difficulties we face are places where God is training us to endure, to have patience, so that we can have patience with the people around us, so that we can endure with the people around us, so that we can keep hoping in what God has in store for us. And, well, maybe some of us have had all the character building we want, but it's not up to us to decide how much character building we're going to get. Amen? You know, and so God is shaping us through these struggles that we have for our good, to his glory. And even more so, because this is what he's done. Here's the core of all this. Let's read it. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The very cure we need to the very place it needs to go has gotten there by the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I have the cure for our spiritual heart condition, and it's the love of God. And, you know, it gives us strength to fight the good fight of faith, and when we realize how poorly we have served, it gives us the comfort we need to try again, because God's love does not disappoint us. It reboots us time and again so that we can keep on keeping on, fighting the good fight of faith, learning how to put that armor on, knowing that God will keep us safe. And so in the cure of Christ for us, in all kinds of ways over our life, we've learned how to live trusting in the Lord. Our lives are marked by Christ's love and forgiveness. And until the day we die, we're going to see some skirmishes that look pretty bad. We're going to see how we fail and fall short. And yet, how good it is to know that we have peace with God because of what Christ has done. For God so loved the world that he sent his only heart so that we would be made new by Christ. So look for the signs of heart health in your life. And take and eat, take and drink. What a meal for good spiritual heart health. And read your Bible, say your prayers, do your devotions. Study the Word of God with me when you have a chance. And receive that good nourishment for your spiritual heart health. Sing songs to the Lord, even if you're off key. And tell him how much you love him, because your heart has been changed. Now from your heart flow other things that are in service. What are the signs of good heart health? Let's look at it. Paul says, and he just loves this metaphor of putting on like garments in this literal sense, in a figurative sense, spiritually. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. This is your identity. God's chosen. I could have started the sermon by saying, in the name of Jesus, dear chosen, dear beloved, dear holy ones, put on compassionate hearts, learning how to bear with people, having compassion for others. Kindness, usefulness is another way to translate kindness. I mean, people who are kind are people who try to help, even if they fumble and stumble. How many ways have you been kind and it hasn't worked out so well, but you want to be kind anyway, right? That's what love does. Humility, understanding that you have a lot to learn and that you need help as much as you give kindness and help to others. Meekness and patience, long-suffering, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. This is what good heart health looks like. You know, bearing with people, being patient, suffering long. I mean, little kids need moms and dads who are patient with them, who are willing to suffer for a long time through certain things. You know, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Good heart health is wanting to forgive and work with the people around us. That's what God's family is about. That's what it looks like. You know, good heart health is trusting in what Christ has done. It's learning to guard our heart. There's a proverb. Proverb, is it 4:23? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So when you see those spiritual heart attacks coming, you're lusting, or you're prideful, or you're shame-filled, you know, when you recognize that heart attack, that's repentance. Then trust in the Lord. Trust what he's done for you. That's a sign of good heart health. That's what the Lord would have us do with our heart. So that instead of moving from being jealous to talking jealously and then acting jealously, we nip it at its origin in our thoughts before it becomes words and actions. That's a sign of good heart health. Guarding our hearts, for out of it spring the issues of life. Also, not only that, but realizing I need to say a kind word. I need to speak a good word. Paul goes on, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So, you know, it's talking to your heart saying, okay, I need to love here in this place and not just react in anger. I need to love instead of act in fear. I need to love instead of act in haste, and so forth and so on. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. So, you know, when you're making decisions, don't make decisions in fear. Don't make decisions in haste. Don't make decisions because others are pressing you and pressuring you. Live in peace. Let the peace of God umpire your heart and how you're thinking through things and processing things. And be thankful. You know, gosh, I'll tell you, you know, without without dwelling too much on my own life, I just find myself so thankful for all the ways God cares, provides, rescues, delivers. I had a lot of things I needed to do, and it was interesting how slicing my finger, needing help, working with others, was like the best thing that could have happened. And think about your life. And do an accounting so that you can be thankful. It's crazy. Another crazy spiritual heart attack that happens is that we just want to be and have more instead of be content. Or to do it all on our own instead of ask for help. You know, God calls us to be thankful. But Paul says more. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, we can fill our hearts with all kinds of things. And it's okay to have all kinds of statistics about your favorite, professional team. You know, talk about your professional players and have all kinds. It's okay to have all kinds of details about all the best kind of things you like to make by scratch and whatnot. Not that I have any of those things, but my family has it, you know. So it's okay to occupy with all kind, your heart, mind, with all kinds of things that deal with temporal things. But here Paul is talking about how important for heart health it is to have the Bible hid in our heart so that we can have a scripture to fall back on, to be guarded by a word from the Lord about, lust or greed or temper and whatnot. And to also share it with one another in all wisdom. Paul goes on, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. With thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Even if you're off key, you have a melody in your heart. You have a melody in your heart that God hears because of what's been poured into your hearts. And then Paul finally says, and whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Signs of heart health in your life and my life. And that's the kind of ministry the people in our lives need from us, and we need from them. And all of this is possible because of what God has poured into our hearts through his Son and through the Spirit, all three in one. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may it guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.